Okay, welcome to another edition of Old Nerd, Young Nerd. I'm Todd.
I'm Derek.
And this is the 2018 edition and our what episode 13, right? 13 or 14?
Lucky 13.
Yeah. The prodigal broadcaster has returned.
You know, the holidays are a busy time.
Yeah. Okay. So it's totally Derek's fault. So send all your hate mail to Derek about why we haven't posted in like a month or two, month and a half. All right, so we're going.
All two of you listening to this, bring it.
We are going on to generation six
Yes.
of our video game anthology. Take it away.
All right, so Generation 6 started with the release of the GameCube, not the GameCube, jeez,
Dreamcast.
Dreamcast in 98. And continued through
How old were you then?
98.
Yeah.
I turned 10.
10.
Yeah.
And your parents didn't get you a Dreamcast.
I didn't want one.
You didn't want one.
I mean, I was still all about the N64 in 98.
Okay. All right. I'm still about the N64 now.
True.
This is
True
20
enough.
something years later.
True enough.
So, but go ahead. Dreamcast.
I don't remember all that much hype about this, to be honest. The
I
Dreamcast.
was I was there. I was live and on the ground
Yeah,
when
live
this
and on the
came
ground.
out.
How old were you in 90?
20 something, was
All
I?
right, yeah. So live and on the ground.
Yeah. And it was the last great non-motion controlled gaming era, which was basically before the Kinects or
The motion control controllers and the
right. Basically just control, but basically just solely controlled gaming systems.
That's how I like it, damn
I'm still not a fan either.
No, I
Like
mean, like,
I was never really a fan of, of that whole generation either.
we're getting ahead of ourselves with the motion capture thing, but it's still,
Right.
I don't like it.
I didn't like it either. And getting with the Wii. But let's go back. Let's stop because that's the next episode.
So it's the
Go
Sega
ahead.
Dreamcast, first released in Japan, November 27th of 98. Then not released in North America until almost a full year later, September 9th of 99.
Which is interesting because you also brought up a point when we were talking about this before the show, but we'll get to in a second, about the other systems. But let's just
Oh,
run them
yeah.
down. Let's just run them down real
Yeah.
quick. So Dreamcast, November 98.
Discontinued March 31st of 2001. And you know what? The sales were doing good, but they discontinued it because they knew the PlayStation 2 was going to crush them.
Yeah, and in large part, it really did. I mean, the PlayStation really dominated for a long period of
Well,
time.
there was also a change in the presidency of Sega over in Japan, and the new president was against making consoles anymore. He was against, like, solely focusing on hardware and wanted to expand because he knew how do you compete with Sony at that point,
Yeah,
right?
right.
And I have a quote here from Peter Moore, who was the president of Sega America. This is talking about their sales in America, right? Said, "We had a tremendous 18 months. Dreamcast was on fire. We really thought that we could do it. Then we had a target from Japan that said we had to make X hundreds of millions of dollars by the holiday season and shift X millions of units of hardware. Otherwise, we just couldn't sustain the business. Somehow, I got to make that call, not the Japanese. I had to fire a lot of people. It was not a pleasant day. So on January 31st, 2001, we said Sega is leaving hardware. We were selling 50,000 units a day, then 60, then 100. But it was just not going to be enough to get the critical mass to take on the launch of the PlayStation 2. It was a big stakes game. Sega had the option of pouring in more money and going bankrupt, and they decided they wanted to live to fight another day. Only as far as hardware goes, this was Sega's last fight.
I think it really was. Yeah, I mean, you
I mean,
haven't
Sega
really.
still, develops games,
Oh yeah, I
and they
mean,
sold licensing rights, I think, to Nintendo because Sonic appears in all the Mario stuff
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mean, Sonic's everywhere. And by all means, I don't want to see Sega die. You know what I mean? Because I love Sega. But yeah, I mean, this was really Sega's last stand. I mean, even when, you know, and this was kind of like the best period of time for me from a video gaming standpoint, because I was just getting out of college, you know, I was just playing video games. I was in that prime market for video games before I really
get your post-college down. Job and then just play games afterwards.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I remember Dreamcast vaguely. Mm-hmm. I know it was there. I got like two games from it. Cause as you know, I'm like a huge video gamer and I collect games.
You're a collector.
I'm a collector
of many things.
Exactly. And you know, and I have several, you know, Dreamcast games. I don't have the Dreamcast yet. I'm sure I'll probably pick it up at some yard sale for $10. But it was never really
a bargain.
It would be.
I bought it at 98, $200.
But there wasn't a huge amount of even titles for it back then, as I recall. You know, going to Babbage's or GameStop or Electronics Boutique or anything like that, there wasn't a whole lot of choices that you had. Mm-hmm. Let's run down the system real quick. Obviously, Dreamcast the first, and then what do we have next? The Behemoth.
PlayStation 2,
yeah.
The Behemoth, then the GameCube, and then the Xbox.
Right.
These are the four consoles of the Generation 6. There's a couple handheld systems as well.
Right.
We'll get to later.
Right. PS2, and this is kind of interesting, and this is all information you can pick up on the web, which is what we did. PS2 lasted from March of 2000 to January of 2013, 13 years.
As of March 31st, 2012, it was 150 million units sold worldwide. That is gargantuan.
Which is incredible. And I still pick up PlayStation
2. Never had one? This guy.
And you who had two? This guy. One for each room.
Well, here's a good discrepancy for you. Release date in Japan, March 4th of 2000. North American release, October 26th of 2000.
It's crazy. The next system, though, that was released was the GameCube.
Yes.
In September 2001. So almost well past a full year. So, I mean, PlayStation had a year's steam where it had almost no competition.
Well,
I mean, other than the Dreamcast, but it wasn't really...
Between 98 and 2001, when the Dreamcast was available, they only sold 9.13 million units.
Right, not a whole heck of a lot.
PlayStation blew that up within a couple of years. They passed that sale total.
Yeah, it's crazy.
GameCube commercially available from 01 to 07. Mm-hmm. They sold 21.74 million units during that span.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in third place, which is basically where Nintendo is now, still moving forward. You know, Sony and Microsoft keep battling for the number one spot, and then there's just Nintendo.
And I still think GameCube was Nintendo's weakest offering for a couple of reasons.
I never wanted one.
I wanted one simply because, as we talked about in previous episodes, I'm a Zelda maniac.
Yes.
So anytime Zelda comes out for any system, I have to buy it. But it's also one of the systems that I have the least amount of games for. I think I probably only have 20 games for the GameCube.
Only.
But my point is, you know.
First world problems. I only have 20 games for my GameCube.
Touché, Monsieur. You know, the GameCube, Nintendo really was more of a cartridge-based system for me. It always has been. And I didn't really like it. And obviously...
They're like the little tiny discs.
Yeah, they're like little, you know, 4 or 5-inch discs. I'm probably over-exaggerating. It's probably like 3-inch discs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like your typical CD-ROM disc.
No. And you know, so it wasn't like a huge major. There wasn't a whole lot of games with the GameCube either. Where and here's where I think, you know, in all honesty, where I think Nintendo started to stutter, where they weren't really advocating their system as they had in the past, you know, with the game support and everything else. And we talked about it before a couple of episodes ago, where Nintendo had a vice grip on the video gaming market back in 86. So 12 years ago,
right,
where, you know, if you had a contract with Nintendo, you couldn't sell on any other system.
Well, I mean, even in the 90s with the N64, I think N64 had a slight edge over the original PlayStation, didn't it?
Yeah.
But then it slowly
crumbled.
Well, you know, Sony started developing the PS2 as soon as the PS1 was released. And they didn't even announce it for a few years that they were working on it.
And it worked out well for them. Really well.
Yeah.
Of the two people in this room, there were still two PlayStation 2s owned.
All by you.
All by me. But still.
I mean, here's the thing. I wanted one, but my parents never bought one.
First world problems, right? Yeah.
We'll flash forward a little bit. It's the year 2002. I just graduated from eighth grade, about to go to high school. And it was my birthday's in May. You know, you graduate in early June, right?
Right.
So around this time, I got a ton of money from family for both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to Toys R Us.
Toys R Us.
And
the mecca for all children.
Yeah. Right. I mean, not so much anymore, I would argue, but. Anyway,
yeah.
Toys R Us has a sale of the Xbox and the PS2. They're both the same price. I was at a crossroads. There's a fork in the road. One's going to the PlayStation 2, one's going to the Xbox. And I had my heart set on the Xbox.
You know what? I know we joke about this a lot, but what was really the determining factor for you?
Halo.
It was Halo. And we talked about that before because we talked about first-person shooters and how I am totally against them. Not against them, but But you said you even were, because we talk about, you know, Call of Duty and everything else, and you're like, oh, I don't do Call of Duty.
No, I don't do online gaming.
Oh, online gaming.
You know,
okay.
I don't like being called, you know, I don't like 6-year-olds telling me to go make love to my mom.
Yeah.
Only not make love.
Yeah.
I'm being a little PG with that.
Which is fine.
Yes.
We have a PG show. Yeah.
Except for those couple slip-ups. But, I had played the PlayStation 2. My neighbors had one.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the games were all right, but there wasn't a game that, like, sucked me in that I felt like I had to play.
Mm-hmm.
Then my buddy got Halo, and after school, before basketball practice, we were playing Halo, and I was like, oh, I want this.
And you never do, like, Final Fantasy? Like, because, I mean, PlayStation is like Final Fantasy.
I wasn't into stuff like that back then, RPGs. I didn't care for them.
Oh, okay.
That didn't come until what really got me onto RPGs, and I think we mentioned this in the last episode, was Knights of the Old Republic. That was the first KOTOR. RPG.
Yeah.
And that was for, was it only for Xbox?
It was only for Xbox. It was, BioWare.
I made the right decision.
No, it's interesting you say that. We're going back now for a little bit. But KOTOR and Jade Empire, both by BioWare and Black Isle Studios, was strictly for the Xbox. And it was really, Xbox had like a little stuttering steps towards RPGs, but the Xbox was never really known for RPGs. If you want to do an RPG, you did PlayStation, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4. They're still really known for it. Or you have a computer, right. Yeah. Which we haven't even really gotten into, but I was kind of curious. So have you done all of the Halos?
Not the newest one, Halo 5.
There's a Halo 5?
Yeah, it's the first one available for the Xbox One. Halo.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I played Halos 1 through 4 and all the little side games they had, I played them too.
Okay.
I didn't own them, but I played them.
Okay. So Halo was your determining factor in your purchase between the PS2 and the Xbox.
Yes, because I played PlayStation a couple times. You know, there wasn't a game that gripped me, and I liked the fact that Xbox could have four players.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the N64. Or in the GameCube, you know, you could have four players. PlayStation was always two players only.
Right.
It's
kind of interesting. Now that you bring that up, and it really speaks to the difference between our generations, like, my real generation where there was kind of, like, co-op gaming was really the Nintendo, the NES. And for the most part, there wasn't a whole lot of things. There were sports games, and there was, like, one-on-one kind of things.
Right.
The regular Nintendo, you did have four players, but for the most part, I think a lot of my friends who were video gamers gravitated towards the RPGs, and Final Fantasy started on the NES, so it's kind of interesting how there was a divergence between our generations where I would say, you know, if I had a poll for people in my generational era versus yours, I would say 80% would go to RPGs on my generation, and I think for your generation, it's the FPS.
Well, and here's the thing,
which I think is really interesting. This is one of the reasons why I love this show, because there's such a divergence in the generations. And you're only 15 years younger than me.
Here's the thing, though. Like, some of my best memories as a kid are hanging out, like, playing with four players on the N64. And it was a, first-person shooters. You have GoldenEye, but it was Mario Kart.
Mario Party.
Super Smash Brothers.
Yep.
And, sports games, wrestling games. Just stuff you could have fun with your friends with, and it's not just two people and you keep trading off.
Right.
I mean, we had PlayStation, some of us did, and we would play PlayStation together. It was, you were either watching one person play a game and you would trade off, or... Mm-hmm. Two people can play and you trade
off. And that's the way it was for the most part with my generation with, things like Russian Attack or Ikari Warriors or something like that for the NES, where I'd play and then you'd play. Mm-hmm. I'd play, then you'd play. There'd be a handle.
You play until you die and then you give the other guy the controller or whatever.
Right. And then here's where I'm gonna like switch to a little bit. And we've actually talked about this in work, between the generational standpoints, where this will be Generation 7, where it's almost all online gaming with Xbox Live. What's the PlayStation version of that? I don't even
PlayStation
know.
PlayStation Online.
PlayStation Online. Where, and this is what I like about it. You know, with when I was a kid, when you were a kid, you know, we would come over each other's houses and we would all have to sit around the TV and play together. I think it's more of a communal thing. I don't even have to talk to, like, I don't even have to be in your presence nowadays to play on the new systems. And I think that takes away a little bit.
There's a commercial for Fios out now talking about how they're the fastest internet around, and it's a bunch of kids online gaming together. And they're making fun of the one kid that doesn't have Fios because his internet's slower and it's going to get them all killed. Because of lag.
But my point is, like we're alienating ourselves. Yeah.
I mean,
you know?
We can talk to each other, but I don't know. There's something about, like, accusing your buddy of screen-looking and punching him in the arm.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
How'd you know I was there? You looked at my screen, didn't you, you son of a...
Yeah.
Not slug him in the arm.
Yeah, but I think, To go from a sociological standpoint, I think that's really taken away from our interactions with each other.
Right.
You know what I mean? And interacting with one another and dealing with one another. I think that's a bad thing. I don't think it's a good thing.
You know, on the one hand, if you go to a school and your buddy lives like 30 minutes away or whatever, you can go home. You can each go to your own homes and still hang out. But you're not really hanging out.
You're not really hanging out.
If you're playing together.
No.
And you're talking, but this might as well be a phone call.
Yeah.
You're not actually hanging out.
Right. And you're not, like, there's no human interaction whatsoever, face to face.
And, of course, Xbox Live started with the Xbox in Generation 1.
And I think that's where Xbox really started.
Well, Generation 1.
Right. Xbox. And that's kind of what I was going towards, too. This is kind of where... online gaming started for the console generation.
Yes.
It's been there since the 80s for the computer generation. We're not really talking about the computer generation because that, you know, that's always been there with Ultima Online and everything else like that. Well, you
computers
know,
beforehand. Have always had more processing power and all that than consoles. So consoles are always going to play catch up to the PC.
Right. But I think, you know, going back to what I was saying, I think taking away the interactivity of people, punching them in the arm or whatever, as you were saying, you know, I think that's really hurting us from a societal standpoint, not just the American generation, but generation as a whole on the world, because you don't have to deal with anyone anymore.
Yeah.
You know? But, which is okay, but you know, which is okay with your generation, I guess, but it's just like, it's just a different thing. But let's go back. Let's go back to where we're going.
Xbox was released. Now, here, this was Todd brought up earlier that I meant that we were talking about something off air. Xbox, made by Microsoft, an American company. So the first console to be released in America before any other country.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it is
cool. Which is kind of cool.
So North American release for the Xbox was November 15th, 2001. Then Japan got it in February 22nd of 02. Europe, March 14th of 02.
Right.
But America got to be first for once in terms of actually of a console release.
You know what? I kind of wonder about that, and I kind of want to like look back because Atari has got to been, you know, Atari back in the 70s.
Wasn't
I would
that
think
a Japanese company.
I don't think so. I don't think Atari was a Japanese company.
Are you sure?
No, I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong.
Now let's so between 01 and 09 was when the original Xbox was commercially available. Sold over 24 million units by May of 06. And I loved this system, man. I logged so many hours on this.
I still
thing.
Play it. I still play my Xbox.
I would still play mine, only it overheats now after like a half an hour.
I bought a second one. The only thing I need to do is transfer my old data from my old Xbox to the new one.
Just replay.
No, I still do, but you know, it's just easier just to go back and, you know, play it again. You know what I mean? But
well, this generation here, the Xbox and the PlayStation 2 were the first consoles to have a DVD player. And I love that, man. Not only did I have video games in my room, but I could watch all my movies in my room too.
And yeah. See, again, this is where you're younger than me, and I always had a DVD player, so it wasn't really
we
like a
big
thing.
I had one in the living room, but I didn't have to leave my bed.
No. I understand. I understand where you're coming from. Like, for me, it was a VCR. I had a VCR when I was your age.
So
VCR still existed when you were young?
Dude, I have at my parents' house, there's so many tapes. And you know what, man? I still love watching the occasional VHS.
Now we're like really going off tangent, but again, I agree with you.
Here's a little tangent. Like, I loved as a kid popping in a VHS and like having to watch some of the previews or fast forwarding through them. I mean, you could.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you have the previews going, and now on DVD, you just, oh God, menu. Why can't I skip this menu?
Yeah, it's always next. But yeah, I hear you, and I like the
rewinding
fact
after it was done. But
you didn't have those fast rewinders.
I mean, you know,
like they sold those at Suncoast Video that are no longer around.
I had to wait all 30 seconds for a tape to rewind. I didn't have that much time as a kid.
Oh no, we had those fast rewinders where we just shot them in and hit the plopped them down. And they rewind really super fast, but why are we getting into VCRs? All right,
we like tangents.
All right, so where are we at now? Handhelds? We going to handhelds?
Yeah, we'll go to handhelds. All right, and might as well start with the big daddy of the handhelds of this generation, the Game Boy Advance.
Right.
First released in Japan in March 22nd of 01. North America got it on June 11th of the same year. Europe, June 22nd, and China, June 8th of 04.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I didn't even see that part. That is crazy.
Yep.
So, and lasted till 08. 07, 08.
Discontinued May 15, 2010.
Oh, okay.
81,510,000 units sold worldwide.
Just crazy. I still have mine.
I never had the game, the first Game Boy Advance. I got the SP, which was released in 03. So there's three different versions of the Advance released.
Right.
You had the original one.
I think my sister had the SP.
The SP.
I didn't have the SP, though.
And the Micro.
That was like the flip-top one, right? Yes. The SP?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, now, the SP was several things I loved about it. Rechargeable battery.
Mm-hmm.
So it had a lithium-ion battery built in. You have a charger for it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
LCD screen. And you had a button that you could turn that on and off, like the brightness on and off. So you didn't have to, remember the Game Boy had that little plug-in light?
Uh-huh.
And so you could play at night.
Yeah, I got it.
You didn't need that crap.
Yeah, this. It's actually behind you.
And then, I don't know, did you ever hear of the Game Boy Advance Micro?
No. That I was looking at that when we were going over everything, but I don't remember the Micro.
Smaller and sleeker. It was kind of like... The picture I was looking at looked like an NES controller, like that little square.
Oh, really?
But it didn't sell very well because they released it like within a few months of the DS coming out. That was dumb on their part, I guess.
Yeah.
But $99.99 when it was released.
The Micro.
No. The Game Boy Advance.
Oh, really?
$100.
I don't remember. I got it for Christmas one year for my parents.
Well, and it was great because it was cross-platform. All your Game Boy games worked on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had your Game Boy Advance games.
Yeah.
Which did not work on the Game Boy, obviously.
Yeah. And the N-Gage.
This thing. I don't even remember.
I didn't remember it at first, but then after you were talking about it, or before, you know, in pre-production... we were talking about it. I do vaguely remember the name, but I don't even remember any games for it or anything. And again, this is again my prime in terms of my video gaming, you know.
So the N-Gage was created by Nokia, famous for their indestructible phones.
Yeah.
Released October 7th of 03, sold 3 million units, discontinued November 26th of 05. So it only had like 2 years of commercial availability.
Right.
$300 to buy the damn thing.
Which now, is crazy.
It was designed to lure gamers away from the Game Boy Advance. And the way they did it was they introduced a mobile phone function to it.
Oh, I do remember that now.
Oh, there you go.
I do remember that now.
The lights go off.
Like ding, ding, ding. I do remember that whole thing with the phone and everything else. Yeah.
Gamers came to refer to it as the taco phone because the shape of it resembled a taco.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, the reviews I was reading of it were like, it was clunky. Like, some of the buttons for the phone that you had to use for games, like, they weren't compatible very well.
I do remember the whole selling point of it being the phone.
In 04, they released the QD, the N-Gage QD, which allegedly fixed some of the flaws of the original N-Gage.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 05, Nokia decided, you know what, we're done with this, and they discontinued it completely to work on smartphones.
Yeah.
Which
I totally remember that now.
Probably the smarter venture.
Yeah. Let's talk about...
One more handheld system.
Okay.
The TapWave Zodiac. Did you ever hear of that or remember
not,
that?
I have no clue on that one.
Available from 03 to 05. There was two versions available. The Zodiac 1, which is 32 megabytes, sold for $300. And the Zodiac 2, 128 megabytes, $400.
Which isn't that expensive considering what iPhones cost now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
there's way more games on the iPhone.
I didn't see any information on the number of units sold.
Mm-hmm.
But it was discontinued due not to the release of, but because of the announcement of the DS and the PSP. They were like, oh, whoever designed this, they're like, yeah, we're done. We tried. We're done. But you know what? This thing, so you could play, it had games you could play on it. Like, I saw one of the titles was a Tony Hawk skateboard game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a major title, actually. Those games were very popular back in the day.
Mm-hmm. For a long while.
You could take JPEG pictures on it.
Mm-hmm.
You could shoot video on it, and it had an MP3 player built into it.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, $400 for 128 megabytes and all that, it's not terrible.
Yeah, definitely.
It just wasn't super successful commercially.
Yeah.
I've never heard of the damn thing.
No, neither have I. Talking about the best-selling games for each of the systems. First one we'll go with, like, the lowest. The Dreamcast was Sonic Adventures.
Of course.
Yeah.
Sega is going to be Sonic.
It's always going to be Sonic. And only sold 2.5 million.
Oh, wow.
Which is really low, considering everything else, you know, as we're going through. Not a big game. I don't remember playing it. I think I probably have it, like, on, like, a collection thing somewhere, Sonic Adventures. Because I think it was, like, the Sonic 1, 2, and 3. That's what I'm thinking it is. You know, Sonic and Tails and all that.
Yeah.
GameCube, 7 million, Super Smash Brothers. Which we probably both remember.
Well, here's the thing. That's
vaguely
probably,
or not vaguely.
That's the only game for the GameCube I played, and it pissed me off.
Why?
Because I wasn't used to the GameCube controls. Like, I love the original Smash Bros. For the N64. I played the crap out of it. I was really good at it, and I sucked. I think that one was Super Smash Bros. Melee for the GameCube. I sucked at it. The couple times I played, most of the times people killed me. It was just me running off the stage on accident because, like, the controls were so like, they were more sensitive.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, screw this, man.
But that was the most popular game.
Obviously.
On third most popular, we're going to talk about the Xbox. Halo 2, 8 million copies sold.
And Halo 2 is the first Halo to have Xbox Live.
Right.
That's why it's probably the most popular game. I played online a couple times with that. Not on my own system, but at a friend's house. Like, a lot of people.
Yeah.
It was mega popular.
Yeah. It was never, obviously, online was never my thing. But by far, the best-selling game of this generation was GTA San Andreas. 19 million.
I was in high school.
More than double of Halo 2.
I was in high school when that came out, and people were hyping that game up like nothing else.
Oh, it's crazy because, it was more, I think it was honestly, now I'm thinking about it, it was probably like the first real open-ended system where you could really do anything. There wasn't
an open world map.
Open world map. There wasn't really go to point A from point A to point B.
Right.
You know, where there was with like a Halo or type of that situation you have to go from these.
And here's the thing with Grand Theft Auto period, you can do a lot of messed up stuff in that game.
Yeah.
In Halo, you're following a story.
Right.
In most games, you're following a story, but in that game, you can kind of, there's a story. But let me go beat up this hooker after I have sex with her and get my money back.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. But, you know, I think that was where, the open world system really started to, the video game market really saw that was a really viable option.
You could argue Zelda was always open world, at least on Ocarina of Time.
I don't really not the way GTA was. I mean, you there were still things you had to do in Zelda to get to a certain point. You know, I mean, with Wind Waker and that type of thing for GameCube, which was Zelda's GameCube game. There was a lot of different things you could do with this at different points. You'd still have to do it like. You can't avoid, in order to finish the game, you can't avoid doing this, that, or the other thing.
Right. Also, the main mission objectives.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say, I'll do objective A instead of objective B, but I still have to do objective B before I can get to objective C. Wind Waker was cool in that if you wanted to, you could just, mess around and, you could go fishing and, for hearts and everything else and heart containers and all that kind of stuff. And I did that for a long period of time, so that actually prolonged the game.
Well, listen, you want to talk open world BS, play Skyrim.
We haven't gotten to that yet.
I'm just saying, flash forward, gigantic map, so many side quests. Like, you can actually, if you just do the main quest, you can be done fairly quickly. There's just so many side quests.
Oh, I know. But you know what? And I think Nintendo, since we're flashing forward for a second, totally ripped that off with Call of the Wild. Because Call of the Wild is Skyrim in a Nintendo universe.
The New Zelda.
The New Zelda.
Yeah, I've seen the maps on my friends.
Oh, my God. It's insane.
It's large.
My God. I got it, I don't know, 6 months ago. And I'm still playing it. And I haven't even realized, I've probably done a tenth of what I have to do. Because a lot of it is just leveling up your character, just like it was in Skyrim.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where, you know, I can go from point A to point B. I'm not going to finish point B because I'm not nowhere near leveled up the, like I need to be. But, I mean, it's totally like a ripoff of Skyrim. Anyone who's played Skyrim and then plays Call of the Wild is going to be like, oh my God, I played this game before, except it's called Skyrim.
That was, that's been every Elder Scrolls game, pretty much. Big world, lots of side missions, you level right. up. But Skyrim, like I played Oblivion, which was Elder Scrolls 4, Skyrim's Elder Scrolls 5, mm-hmm. completely different leveling up system.
I never played the other games because, again, they were just first person only.
No.
Yeah, they were.
No.
Are you sure?
I played Oblivion. It was both.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, then I might come back
like
and play
for,
it.
For exploring the world, I like being third person, but for fighting, I would switch to first person. I just thought it was easier.
Oh, wow. See, I always thought the other Elder Scrolls were all first person, so I didn't even
now,
try
I don't know about the third one, which was Morrowind, which was a Generation 1 Xbox game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, original Xbox game. My buddies had it. I tried it. I didn't really like it. But like I said, I wasn't into RPGs back then. I loved mm-hmm. Oblivion.
Right.
Chet, voiced by Sir Patrick Stewart.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. He played the king.
Oh, wow. Didn't even know that.
Yep. That's what gripped me from the beginning. It's, holy crap, it's Patrick Stewart.
Captain Picard.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So let's go back on track. What do you have to say about Generation 6? Yeah. Final thoughts.
It encompasses a lot of my life between, at least throughout high school. Most of my free time was spent on the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
I will be forever indebted to BioWare for Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2.
Yeah, I love those games.
I spent so much time playing
that. I still play those games. Yeah.
I mean, I need to
Jade
get...
Empire.
I want to get a new Xbox. Specifically so I can replay Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
They will work on the 360 if you have it connected to Xbox Live. But it just doesn't work right. It's slow. The combat's slower. It's...
Yeah.
It's not as enjoyable, but...
I mean, that's totally why I got that one. I mean, that was my second Xbox because my hard drive was going on the old one.
Ah.
And I was replaying KOTOR 1 and 2
mm-hmm.
and then Jade Empire, which same combat system, everything else, same publisher and everything. And I just love those games. I mean, those are classics.
Yep.
And I think I shared something with you on Facebook where they were possibly redoing KOTOR, didn't I?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. If they remaster Knights of the Old Republic, I will buy the crap out of it.
Yeah, me too.
And I just
hope, and I might actually buy the new Xbox for that.
If they release the second one, because I think it would be both. If they release Knights of the Old Republic 2, I hope they release a finished version of it. Because I don't know if you know this or not, they cut out a side mission of HK-47 and the HK-50 units. You remember that from the second one?
Vaguely.
It's like there was supposed to be a side mission where HK-47 finds and kills them all.
But really?
Yeah. I mean, they set it up in the game, but there's never any conclusion to it because I guess now it would be DLC. They didn't have it finished in time for the release, and there wasn't any DLC back then.
Oh, wow.
By the way, I hate DLC.
Oh, that's crazy.
Please just release a complete game.
Yeah, that's
damn it.
Crazy. Well, see, that's what I like about this new generation either.
No, I know. You spend $60 on a game and then $30. Well, that's it.
I mean, that's mobile gaming. I mean, they're really ripping off mobile gaming with that. Not really ripping off, but they're really taking advantage of...
I mean, yeah, it's called free.
Yeah.
So, you can play the free version, but it's more fun if you pay $5 and you get all this other stuff and you can win easier.
Exactly. Listen. And I think Battlefront really got in trouble for this. And I think that's where this whole thing where
the new Star Wars. Well, they had a point system for unlocking hero characters.
Right.
Whereas you could spend money to unlock them, and it was a lot of money, or you just spend a lot of, like, a ridiculous amount of hours to get it for free.
Right.
I was just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, are you serious about this?
And that's, I think, the straw that broke the camel's back with not just with gamers, but with the gaming, you know, industry as a whole and oversight. Because now they're calling it like gambling, online gambling, and everything else, and you know that's a whole other.
We're jumping two generations ahead.
Correct. Yeah, but your favorite system from that generation, Xbox.
That's the only one I own.
Yeah,
but I love it.
You know, and I liked, and I can't really say that I liked one over the other. I liked Xbox for certain things, as we talked about the KOTOR. Mm-hmm. But I also like Jade Empire, but I also like the PS2 with all the RPGs, because I'm an RPG-er,
right?
You know, through and through. So, you know, I'm kind of balanced on that.
Listen, a lot of people I know feel the same way. I mean, nowadays there's three types of people in the world right now. There's the PlayStation only, Xbox only, or people who have the time and money to have both.
Right.
And I made an Xbox only decision way back when. I have nothing against the PlayStation. I would still play. I would play it if I could.
Right.
But systems and games are expensive.
Yeah.
So you find one you like and you stick with it.
No, I hear you. And I mean, like for me, it's got to be now a game that I really, really want to play.
Oh yeah.
And the great thing about what the systems now is, unlike 20 something years ago, the games that come out on several systems. So you don't have to worry about, do I have this system or that system?
There's a lot more cross-platform. And that's another thing that annoys me. Because now you see, well, this content's only available on the PlayStation for this game. Or this one's exclusive to the Xbox for this game.
And so I think that really started with the fighting games. What was that? Soul Calibur.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was like this.
Soul Calibur 2.
I had Soul Calibur 2 for the original Xbox.
And that came with Yoda, right?
The 360.
Was that Yoda?
No, that was Spawn.
Oh, okay. So
Yoda,
Spawn.
I know Darth Vader was on the PlayStation. Yoda must have also been on that one.
Mm.
Or no. No, that would have been on the Nintendo one, because I think the guy from Tekken was on the PlayStation one.
Oh, okay. All right. But to wrap things up.
Favorite Generation 6 game, any system?
Oh, God. I honestly, as much as I love KOTOR, I'm going to have to say Jade Empire.
Yeah.
I think that really brought together all of the positives of KOTOR, mm-hmm. and then, like, just jumped beyond it. Like, I would love to see a Jade Empire 2. For any system. Possibly, like, if I was on a desert, you know, island, that would probably be my game to give it to. Because I play that, and I'm not the type of person to replay a game. I probably only replayed, 10 games in my entire life repeatedly, and Jade Empire is one of them. But for this generation, it's Jade Empire. What about you?
KOTOR.
Yeah. First one or second one?
That's tough, but I think I'm going to go with the second one. Because I think I like the added element of influencing your fellow party members to be light side or dark side. You know, they added the influence element that wasn't in the first one.
Yeah, I think they really expanded. So
they took all everything that was great about KOTOR 1 and improved it for KOTOR 2.
Yeah, I mean that was, and I agree. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I totally agree that they actually made a good game better.
Yes.
Whereas that's not always the case.
No, it's not always the case with sequels.
Yep. Right.
I was just gonna say about KOTOR 2 minus the whole HK-47 missing side mission thing that they had to cut.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, whatever. You're given a release date and you have to make it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and again, that was before downloadable content, which I don't agree with either. You know, if you're gonna buy a game, You can't split. You can't split it.
$60 on a game.
Right.
I mean, now you can buy. You can get a season pass for $10, so you spend $70 for all the content.
Yeah,
but you buy the season pass, you get it. You know, but still, you're spending that extra money for something you shouldn't have to spend extra money for.
Right. Right. All right. So that concludes our Generation 6 video game anthology. Join us again next week for Generation 7. I'm Todd.
I'm Derek.
And remember, it's good to be nerdy.
No.
All right, well, go ahead.
It's your stupid catchphrase.
Oh, you know what? I change it up. All right, well, see you again next week. Bye.